All right. So I'm here with Aaron Larkin, and my name is Scott Wall. We're a little bit informal right now. We're actually not really talking about a direct Moore Murray project, but we think that there's some important things to take away from kind of what's going on here. So I guess the drama that's come up recently is Renner has done a tweet, correct? What did the tweet say?
Well, that tweet was actually taken down, but it said something about something going on in the Moore Murray case that was going to knock people's socks off. Expletive in there.
Did you get anybody reaching out to you after he did that tweet asking you what was going on?
Oh, yeah.
On? Yeah.
Of course.
I did too, of course. So, and the answer to that is that, of course, we both talked to Julie and Fred and everybody else. And so we already knew the answer even before we reached out to them, which was that there is no major announcement coming. And if there wasn't a major announcement about Moore's case, it would come from the family. It's not going to come from
or the police.
Right. Right. So, but his tweet got shared by the captain, correct?
Well,
or did it?
Well, I don't know exactly how this stuff works because I don't have Instagram, but I think it was posted on Instagram.
Okay. Well, for people that don't know who the captain is, can you tell people who the captain is?
He's the host of True Crime Garage. It's a true crime podcast that's, I think, pretty popular.
Yeah. I think it's one of the more popular true crime podcasts in the country, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. So what's interesting is that we knew something was up because we started adding people to the both official pages pretty quickly. So I think that within the first like few hours that he tweeted, we were getting people adding to the page every few minutes, like just every couple minutes, people were either requesting the group page or adding themselves to the official page. And I think in a few days or a couple days or whatever that it was after that had gone by, we had added somewhere in the ballpark of 800 people between the two pages. So a positive spin on this is because of the captain's tweet, we've added a bunch of members. So which is good. But anyway, so now that Renner's come out and made his announcement about what it is, one, does it really have anything to do with Moore Murray?
I think there's like a couple of different thoughts I have on that. No, of course it doesn't have anything to do with finding Maura, and it's just what I consider to be another distraction. At the same time, it's as much as I would like to not have all of these distractions from him, it's like at some point you have to admit that regardless of how much I want to keep those out, like they're gonna come in. So all you can do is just respond.
Right. Well, we've talked about this actually quite a bit on what is appropriate to respond to and what's not appropriate to respond to, even on the official pages. Mm-hmm. And I would say the vast majority of the kind of white noise that's out there that has nothing to do with really finding Maura, we don't respond to that. However, when things get to a point where the record needs to be set straight, we've taken a more active approach to responding to things when we can see that people could be derailed into following something that's not beneficial into helping Maura.
Right. This one just continues to escalate.
Right. Right.
It's not going away.
Right. So what did you think about Renner's big announcement?
It was sort of what I had anticipated, unfortunately. I think it's sadly another example, though, of somebody using Renner to push their own personal agenda. And I think that I have to be honest, and like I do have a personal reaction to this also, because I was friends with for a year and a half.
Okay. And how did you meet her? How did you?
So just for context, she is the person that Renner talked about being in the emergency room with Bill on Valentine's Day 2018. And so she actually reached out to me about a year and a half ago on Twitter. And she had asked to meet up because she was upset and didn't know how to handle the fact that James Renner was talking about her online and posting making blog posts and talking about her at CrimeCon and didn't have the story right and was putting out misinformation that was very upsetting to her. And she was feeling harassed and threatened by him.
Right.
So the first message was a Twitter message, and she said, "Hi, Aaron. I appreciate your good faith effort in trying to find answers rather than resorting to slander and unfounded accusations as others have done. I recently became a target of James Renner, and I don't know what to do, but it's terrifying and makes me very uneasy. Would you be willing to meet me for coffee sometime soon? I'd much rather discuss the details in person." So I said, of course I'll meet her. I knew that from her profile that she lived in Washington, so we agreed to meet in DC.
So she, why did she reach out to you? Like, how did she know who you were? Or
so she'd been following me on Twitter, and presumably she knew who I was because she told me that she was friends with Bill, and she was the woman from the Valentine's Day incident.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this incident that you're referring to. So what did Renner claim happened?
So he didn't actually claim that Bill hurt her, but I think what he tends to do is make one statement, make another statement, insinuate something, and let you put the pieces together and form your own opinion in your head. So I think the way that he described it was Bill was seen at the emergency room on Valentine's Day with and she had a gash in her head and had stated that she slipped and fell on the ice. And that he waited there while she spoke to the doctors and nurses and explained how it was a complete accident. And the insinuation, of course, is that he did something to harm her. He did something to cause her to need to get stitches.
Right. That's Renner's version of what happened. What did tell you?
She said that part of it was true, but what was missing was she was dating this other person at the time. And they had Valentine's Day plans, and she slipped and fell on the ice and hurt her head and needed to get stitches. And while she was at the hospital, Bill came by to see her, and she told her boyfriend that she had plans with that she couldn't meet up with him because she had this accident and needed to go home. And he came to the hospital anyway, even though she said he didn't have to, and he saw Bill there. And was upset about this. But then after a while, she went home with her boyfriend. Later that evening, she said that he forced himself on her. And she was incredibly upset because she'd had this like gash in her head. And here he is raping her.
Now, hold on. I want to make sure I clarify this. So this is her current boyfriend. This is
the one that was her boyfriend at the time.
Not Bill.
No. At that point, she had told me that they were just friends.
Okay.
So So she said that this guy raped her and that she broke up with him the next day and didn't speak to him again until April, when she sent him an email saying, like, what you did was not okay. It constitutes rape. And I just needed you to know that it's not okay. And she said that after she sent that email, her boyfriend and his friend went to Renner. And she kind of made it sound like they went into defensive mode because they were worried, or he was worried that she was going to file some kind of report about him. So he wanted to get ahead of it.
Right.
And Renner ran with it. And despite saying to him multiple times that, no, it never happened, you don't understand the story, he straight up told her, I don't believe you. I believe this person that you were dating.
Right. Which wasn't Bill.
Which was not Bill.
Right. Okay. So now you have a situation where is dating this guy at the time, but Bill's around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she had told you at that time that they were just friends?
Correct.
But was that actually the case?
No. So over the course of the year, she told me that they had been dating. And at that point, I asked her, I have to ask you about Valentine's Day again, because if you're telling me these things, did he harm you? Is there any chance, you know, did you leave something out of the story? And she said, well, yeah, she didn't tell me originally the part where he had been at her apartment, had picked her up, and her head hit
Now, the ceiling. Who's this that picked her up?
Bill. Okay. Bill picked her up, and her head hit the ceiling.
So the reality is you actually got a couple different versions of this story. The first version of the story, if I understand how you explained it, was is she was by herself. She was had slipped on some ice and had fallen and cut her head, went to the hospital. Bill showed up at the hospital for support. She was dating somebody else at the time. She did have a boyfriend at the time, mm-hmm. but Bill was concerned about her, so he showed up to make sure she was okay. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now you've gotten to know her a little bit better. She confides in you again, and you find out that the first story that she told you, she's now saying wasn't the true story, correct?
It wasn't the whole story.
Wasn't the whole story. Right. Okay. So now tell me how she elaborated. What else came after this?
Yeah. So I was concerned that if she hadn't told me the whole story before, that maybe she left something out about perhaps Bill did hit her or cause her to need stitches. So she said that Bill came over and they were joking around and playing around and Bill lifted her up in the air and her apartment ceiling is really low. And so she said that she hit her head and that she was started bleeding everywhere.
What did she hit her head on? The ceiling can't be that low.
Well, so I thought that she said ceiling, but in her statement, she said a light fixture. So the light fixture actually makes more sense.
Okay.
But the way I remember it was ceiling. But either way, it was an accident and she made it very clear multiple times that it was an accident. And even was laughing when she told me the next part, which is that he tried to request an Uber and his hands were shaking so much that he couldn't type it in effectively. And so as he was doing that, he slumped over and passed out from the blood.
Okay. Bill doesn't like the sight of blood.
Right. Apparently. So.
Well, and to be fair, like we make light of that. But to be fair, I mean, some of Bill's background, too, is he's also been in combat, right?
Right. Yeah. Obviously, she was aware of that. So it made her panic because she couldn't see the wound on her head. All she could think was that it must be awful and horrible and gruesome if it's causing this guy who's been to war to pass out. Right. So she called 911. She dialed 911 and they spoke to her and she ended up going in the ambulance to the hospital.
Okay. How did Bill get there?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he went in the ambulance or took his car.
Okay.
But he did come to the emergency room with her and she asked him to hold on to her stuff because, you know, you have to put on the gown and everything.
Yep.
And so he had several of her belongings. And then the boyfriend showed up. And
while Bill was at the hospital.
While Bill was at the hospital.
Oh,
and
that's
she,
not good.
It was a pretty awkward situation. Regardless, they left together and her boyfriend.
No, wait, you say they. Who left together?
Her boyfriend left to go home, back to her apartment after she was stitched up.
So Bill did not go back to her apartment. With her?
No.
Okay.
Well, so when she got to her apartment, she realized that Bill still had the keys to her apartment in his pocket. She didn't get them back from him. So she had to call him up and ask him to come over and hand off the keys, which she also described as rather awkward, but she was laughing about it at the time.
Okay. This kind of sounds like a setup for disaster here.
Yeah. So, and then she said that the part about her boyfriend forcing himself on her was true. That did happen.
Did she ever say if that was in retaliation for the fact that Bill
was there?
Was there?
I mean, no, not directly, but I mean, the implication was clearly that it was like a power move because he was upset that she was with this guy at the hospital and he had her keys in his pocket.
Right.
So I think that was clearly the implication. And what bothered her so much about Renner's comments in his blog and his talking on podcast was that he's taking the word of this guy who she said raped her to destroy Bill.
Right.
So that was what made her so upset, was that it was like this total scumbag that he was taking the word of and that he literally told her, I don't believe you. I don't believe your story.
Right.
So that's what was making her so upset and making her want to reach out to me.
I gotcha. So it took a while for you to get the full story, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but obviously, even with the limited story that I had, I thought it was horrifying.
Right. Well, absolutely.
And she expressed interest in coming on my podcast and explaining the story and how she'd been treated and the harassment and threats that she'd gotten from Renner. And we did pre-runs. We had dates set up to record the podcast. And then she ended up telling me that she couldn't for some work reason, but sort of had the feeling that she might have been a little shy about eventually coming on. And so I didn't push it, obviously.
So this, I guess the question I have with you is that obviously this is a lot of very personal information about Bill and about a what compels you to talk about such private information? Why would you come out and talk about such private information that happened now? Between Bill, yeah, her, between Bill and the boyfriend?
Well, the first reason is a lot of people have asked me why I began defending Bill, quote unquote. I don't think I ever defended whatever he's being accused of, but I have certainly defended his right to privacy and his right to a defense without being slandered on the internet constantly. And the irony of it is that it wasn't because of Bill. I never talked to Bill. It was because of Elizabeth, and she asked me to do this.
Right.
And the other reason that it's so offensive is because throughout his book and on podcasts and anywhere he can, Renner used every opportunity to talk about Moore's sex life when he had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. He used sources like a guy that she broke up with, that she ghosted, Haas. And by the way, she wasn't dating Bill at the time that she was dating him. And it says it right in Renner's book. Quoting Haas, "I got this random email about her boyfriend. They had started things back up. She left what we had." The implication there is that Haas is saying they weren't together, Bill and Maura, at the time that they were dating. Nevertheless, he uses Haas as a resource to call her, quote, promiscuous. A guy that she dumped. Like, think about, like, what... Perhaps there might be an ulterior motive for him calling her promiscuous. He goes on to talk about the orgies that she was in. Kate said never happened, and supposedly Kate was there, even according to Renner. He calls Kate a liar, but he takes the word of this, quote, prominent businessman to say that Maura was promiscuous and had all these orgies. So I think the thing that is extra offensive to me is that he's pretending to be some sort of champion for women when he has done the most to disparage her reputation and to essentially victim blame.
Well, I think it's the most obvious of things too. Like, if it was a dude that said that he was at an orgy in college, people would be like, yeah, that's all right. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, but you say, oh, well, a girl goes there. There's an old stigma that lasts that, you know, well, if a girl sleeps with a bunch of people, she must be a whore or a slut, you know? And I think it's ridiculous. I don't care.
Even if it is true, what gives Renner the right to talk about this woman's sex life? A presumed victim, by the way.
Right.
Who's not around to defend herself.
Right. And if she wanted to go sleep with a whole bunch of people, what does it matter?
Has like, nothing to do with anything, as far as we know.
So you just brought up the Maura and these orgies that Renner talks about in his book. You and Elizabeth actually talked about that. Is that correct?
Yeah. She wasn't aware of it because she hadn't read his book. But she thought that she was crazy at some point for being threatened and harassed by him. And like, am I the only one that sees how destructive and terrible he is to women? And I tried to say that, no, you're not the only one that sees it. And I sent a screenshot of the page in his book where he's discussing how she's promiscuous and talking about the orgies. And her response was, there's like a lot of caps used, but I'm not going to emphasize the capital letters. She says, how, and I mean how, does anyone not think this is disgusting? I don't understand how he hasn't already been outcast from this community by the denigrating things he says from the very, all caps, questionable sources at best. I just don't understand why people give him a platform to denigrate and hate even on Maura herself. If people only knew how he harasses and bullies people into giving him information, and then he takes that information and twists it however he sees fit, I'm afraid to even respond to him with a simple no because of what he'll do. Either he continues to contact me or I take that simple response and write only God knows what. But I think I've come to the conclusion that I don't care if he bothers me or what he writes. I have nothing to hide and I've done nothing wrong, especially as it relates to this case. I just want people to know how he gets and then twists information. And more importantly, how the majority of his sources, at least as they apply to Bill's case, are complete scumbags that cannot be trusted. I do believe if he's going to stalk people, about their past and present lives in order to prove their character, I think it's only fair that someone do the same to him, since it goes toward his credibility as well. I'm just so sick of his behavior and the fact that I've lost sleep because of this guy, and every time my doorbell rings, my heart races because I'm terrified it's him. It's just so absurd, and I want him exposed for the disgusting human being that he is. I'm just ready to do something about all this. He shouldn't be allowed to control the narrative on so many people's lives. That was May 14th, 2018.
Not all that long ago.
Here's a follow-up. Small update. Was able to get him to take down the ER visit post, although it didn't come without him calling me a liar and saying a bunch of other terrible things to me, including threats. I asked him for a full retraction, but of course he wasn't going to alert his followers he may have gotten something wrong. He just took it down quietly, like the coward that he is. Sigh. Whatever small victories, I guess. I could go on. He texted me yesterday as well and was super antagonizing. I believe her ex-boyfriend, the one that she accused of raping her. He's still trying to get info about Bill's life and whereabouts currently, which has zero impact on the Maura Murray case. Who are these people, companies responsible for CrimeCon? Do they know? And unfortunately, I did see this video referring to the video of CrimeCon from 2018, where there was a panel of Tim, Lance, Maggie, and Renner. I was kind of on the lookout for it since you had told me that he discussed Bill in the ER visit. There has to be something that can be done. I know legal paths have been tried, but it can start to cost a lot of money. It's definitely risen to the level of harassment at this point, and this video is textbook slander, in my opinion. I also just don't understand why people like Tim and Lance and Maggie don't ostracize him. It's clear they don't buy what he sells, and even the audience laughs every time he brings up a ridiculous theory. But the problem is, by giving him a platform, they're giving him validation regardless. It's legitimately fucking with people's lives, and for what? Nothing. Literally nothing. I not only know Bill really well, but I know some of the people who were with Bill during this entire ordeal in the days and weeks afterwards. The theories Renner has about Bill are insane and, all caps, completely unfounded. I just don't get it. At one point, Bill was open to talking to you and potentially doing an interview. At this point, I had never spoken to Bill. You can understand that's a difficult decision for him to make, though. He doesn't want to open himself up to the crazies, but he also realizes this guy isn't going away, and it wouldn't hurt to put his story out there. I would definitely do an interview with you, although my interview would basically be talking about how Renner is a psycho and not a good guy, and his sources are completely unreliable. So if you want to dismantle his credibility, I'm all for doing that, but I wouldn't have any substance to add to the Maura Murray case specifically. I could literally go on for hours. I have hundreds and hundreds of messages. She goes on and on about her life being invaded, the obsession with her sex life, how he's a delusional crazy person, how he won't stop contacting her, how he believes her rapist, all of these things. This is why I did not, quote, defend Bill. This is why I started speaking out against the harassment that Renner has felt he's entitled to against everyone in the Maura Murray case and anyone connected to Maura at all, including her father, her family, her friends. This is what they go through. That's what I was speaking out against.
You guys became good friends and you cared about her. She was being attacked by Renner and you defended her. You stuck up for a friend. And
I mean, I did everything I possibly could to support her and help her. She even asked me to reach out to Maggie at one point, which I did. And Maggie, to her credit, was very gracious about it and said, of course I'll talk to this person. Of course I'll hear her out. Of course I'll do whatever I can to support her. And I don't think ever actually ended up contacting Maggie. But, you know, I did everything that I possibly could. And so that's part of why I wanted to talk about it, because she disregarded all of that and put my credibility online and have me stick my neck out and completely betrayed me.
Are you hurt by that?
Extremely hurt. It'd be weird not to be, I think.
Right. Have you talked to her since then?
Nope.
What was the change that made her do a 180 to reach out to... Well, she's done a couple things, right? She's reached out to the attorney general and she reached out to Renner, correct?
Yeah, she reached out to Renner first.
Okay.
Honestly, I got to know her pretty well, and I know how much of a trigger it was whenever Bill would discuss his family. It was a huge trigger for her, and I couldn't help but notice that the day that Bill posted a picture on, it was like National Daughter's Day or something, and he posted a picture of his daughter with the caption, "She's badass like her mom." And that was the day that went to Renner.
Interesting.
So even though they'd been broken up for over 6 months, and she hadn't spoken to Bill or seen him in like a year, over a year, that's when she decided she was feeling so unsafe that she needed to go to Renner.
Right.
And this is just so clearly revenge. Just revenge. Bitter revenge.
Right.
And it sucks to have to say that, because it's not a popular thing to say that, like, a woman is lying. It's like political suicide at this point in time. And, you know, some people know that and will use that to their advantage. And unfortunately, I think that Elizabeth is one of them.
Well, you don't think, you know. You have the emails and you have the text messages and you know.
While I can't prove that everything that she said was a lie, how could I? But
right.
I can say that she said the complete opposite of everything that she said in that post. And to me, it reads very much like an intentional, it's just purely intentionally to hurt Bill. And that's almost aside, it's fine. But when you start to link Maura Murray to it, and you completely disregard all of the times that I talked about how distracting Renner was to the case and how damaging it was to the case, it's offensive on a level that I don't think I've like really felt before.
Right. I also think that it's also showing what she went through for so long as he continued to attack her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is very common. I mean, Bill sent me screenshots of friends of his that were female that reached out to him inquiring about, who's this guy Renner asking about you? I mean, he literally trolls. I mean, he literally finds any person.
Oh, he calls, cold calls people that he's worked with, yep, asking them if they have dirt on him.
Right.
I mean, and just like, think about that. If there was somebody out there trying to find anyone imaginable that could say the worst things about you, calling your schools, calling your places of employment for the last 10 years, just anyone at all. Think about how many people would have something to say, and then think about how he could twist that.
Right.
I mean, you know, like, we all have people that we don't like and who don't like us. And if given the opportunity, especially anonymously, would say something shitty just because they can and because they're getting the attention and they don't have to suffer any cost from it. That's why, if you'll notice, the vast majority of his sources are anonymous.
Right. It's pretty easy to say, well, Aaron, I was contacted by this guy that says you're into X, Y, and Z and did drugs and did this and that and everything else. And
it's all true.
And this is what he said. Yeah. And this is what he said. And then you're like, well, who is it? And I go, well, I got to protect my source.
Exactly. And it's interesting because, just like said, she could say no or she could not answer. And he's going to take that as some sort of tacit admission of guilt. And I can completely identify with this, because at some point he sent me an email completely out of the blue asking me if I was being paid by Bill Rausch. And I like contemplated, should I respond to this? Because this is a crazy person. And if it came from anyone else, I would not have responded. I would say, this is a crazy person. They do not warrant a response. But it was Renner. So if I don't respond, that's a tacit admission. She refused to answer. She refused to answer me when I asked if she was being paid. It's a very simple question. Why didn't she answer? And that's the narrative now. So right. Then people believe I'm being paid by Bill Rausch, and then I have to then go out and try to get them to unbelieve it, which is a harder thing to do than getting someone to believe something.
Right.
And that's how he operates. So there's no winning is the wrong word. There's no reasoning with him. If he has an agenda, that's it. And he'll keep pushing and pushing. So now the escalator incident that is completely unproven and completely goes against the facts, which are that Bill did not take the Metro to work. Now it's attempted murder. So now people start calling him an attempted murderer. Not just an assaulter, but a murderer. And just as somebody who has taken the metro many times during rush hour, I think everyone has been pushed down by some guy who's late for a meeting and running up the metro stairs. It's not that uncommon, quite frankly.
Right.
It's just the opposite of everything that the Society of Professional Journalism says is good journalism. What's crazy to me is that one of the things that we wanted to do was when we were all going to CrimeCon at some point, we had plans to go to CrimeCon, and she obviously didn't want Renner to be there. And one of the ways that she thought she could get him to stay away was by filing a protective order against him.
So actually, for CrimeCon for 2019... a little bit of the backstory there is that you were actually going to have your own panel. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we were going to talk about the effects of true crime on family and friends of victims and responsible ways to engage the true crime community and have them be a positive factor. And doing armchair detective work in a responsible manner that's actually helpful to police.
Okay, and so you actually had arranged for another police department to be on your panel, is that correct? Which police department was that?
So we were in talks with them. I don't necessarily want to talk specifically because the last thing I want to do is insert them into something that they don't want to be inserted to right now.
Okay.
But it was a pretty prominent police department that had used a podcast as a tactic to track down a fugitive. And so obviously had, you know, presumably gone through all of the positives and negatives of engaging the public in this way and engaging true crime fans into helping them with their investigation.
And their podcast, though, caught the guy, didn't it? Or helped catch the guy? Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say exactly like what it was that caught him. But yeah, he was eventually caught, which is awesome.
Right. So in this situation, this police department, Bill's going to be on this panel. It's going to come along. What does tell you about her concerns about coming to CrimeCon in 2019?
Well, I mean, at the time she told me, reasonably so, that she was so threatened by Renner and felt so harassed by him in the past that it really gave her a lot of anxiety knowing that he might be there. So we actually independently talked to CrimeCon, and they actually have a very... very professional and very extensive security operation. They're not unfamiliar with controversial cases and people that may want to do harm towards certain individuals. So I felt pretty comfortable that everything would be fine. But she was still really nervous and really anxious. And so one solution to this problem would be to file a protective order against Renner in Washington so that he couldn't come within X number of yards or feet or whatever from her, effectively kicking him out of CrimeCon.
Right.
If she was there. But then ultimately they canceled that panel anyway, so it was a non-factor, but she was going to file a protective order against him to keep him away.
Right. We've tried to very actively stay away from talking about Bill in the Maura Murray forum.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you think that this is so important to talk about this relationship between Bill and Renner and this boyfriend and you, like, why is it so important to talk about that now?
Because for so long, I think that I haven't wanted to acknowledge all of the distractions, but I think that they're incredibly damaging, could potentially be incredibly damaging to the case, and to pretend that they don't exist is a little bit naive. Because they do affect public opinion. And, you know, we've had a hard enough time with, for example, getting the police to do the dig in April. And the reality is that things like public opinion and how and what people are paying attention to does affect police's how they want to spend resources and how they will, like, utilize their their time and energy in this case. And so when you have people believing that it's she's in Canada or it was her ex-boyfriend or all these things, like, for one, all it really does is help the real perpetrator. And two, it just makes it that much harder to get police to do their job when they have to.
Right.
I also think that there's like a meta problem in true crime of people exploiting these cases for their own personal agendas. And for some reason, the Maura Murray case seems to be rife with those people. And this is just one more.
Right.
And really should not be tolerated.
Me and Helena used to talk about this. It's a really tough balance, right? Because you have to have media involved. You have to have people that have some sort of voice. And the true crime world used to kind of only be mainstream. It only used to be like, I think, probably more reputable documentaries and things like that. And now we have a whole world where people are so attracted to true crime that there's very little ethics or guidelines to govern how they should act and how these cases should be treated. And I mean, I think that me and you and Julie were just talking about this the other day, but if you do a Google search for most famous missing person cases, there's one that there's a top search that comes up, and I apologize, I don't remember it off the top of my head, but basically I think it's Amelia Earhart is right next to Maura Murray.
It's the Insider article from July of this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, people want to talk about the case, which is not a bad thing, but it's disappointing to see the lack of ethics in the way that people handle themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Right.
So let me hit you with some questions here. What would you say to all the people that like perceive that you just have a connection with Bill and that it doesn't matter what evidence comes up, you're going to defend him?
I would say that I literally just met Bill this year, and my goal it's not about defending him. It's about what's going to be the best thing for finding Maura. And the information that he has, I believe, is valuable.
You know, you're going to have people that say he did it because the woman said that he did it.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing. Like, the Me Too movement is not about assigning automatic guilt to one gender and not the other. It's about taking allegations seriously and investigating them properly.
Yeah.
I have nothing against the women, and I don't know what happened. I think I'll wait to see like what happens in the trial, like everyone else. But if the only place that they can have a voice is Renner's YouTube video, fine. That's fine. I have no problem with them doing that, and I have no problem with them making accusations. The problem that I have is when Renner links it to Maura and tries to connect the two things, and that is clearly what he's done. And that's where I think it's a problem, because we don't have his communications with any of these people. We don't know what he said to them. And one of the things that I think is really interesting is how one of them said that she felt compelled to come forward. Like, she felt like it was her obligation. And for all we know, he's telling her that Bill murdered Maura and he's going to get away with it unless you talk. I mean, the second YouTube video, the one, the bartender, according to her, she never thought that Bill's interaction with her was assault in any way. She says that it was explicitly consensual. But then you have Renner saying that he is an abuser and he may have flown into a rage and offed his girlfriend. And then all of a sudden, they start to say, oh, well, what he did to me was assault. So I'm not saying that this woman does not have the right to accuse him. Of course she does. What I'm saying is that it should be completely separate from Maura. And unfortunately, I think that Renner has used it. He's linked the two for his own personal agenda and for his own personal gain.
All right. And I know that from my interaction where we've talked to all of these people behind the scenes, like I talked to friends of Maura who knew Bill, and you know, we obviously, everybody knows we talked to all of these people, and to date, I have not found anything that shows that Bill was abusive to Maura when they were together.
None. Zero.
And I think that that's a line that I've kind of drawn in the sand with a lot of people, including Renner, when we've spoken, is that my personal stance is that I don't really care about what Bill's going through right now. The only reason I guess I could say the only reason I would care about it is because I want information from him that I think might help find Maura. But as far as his personal dealings with these people that are accusing him, I don't really care about that, because this mm-hmm. is 15 years after Maura went missing. And I'm open to all suggestions. And, you know, Renner has built this story that Bill has somehow come up to New Hampshire to try to find Maura, broke away from the pack, murdered her, hid her, came back to the pack, and nobody ever knew the better. And the friends that drove her to wherever she was going are afraid of Bill, and now they're not going to say anything. And this is the story. And the reality is I cannot find anything that shows that this is accurate. And I've gone through phone records. I have talked to people that were there. I've asked about his whereabouts, and I just cannot find anything to prove even one shred of this crazy theory that seems to be put out there. So, and this is reading through old letters between them and communications. This is talking to all these people that knew both of them. This is talking to Julie and Fred and everybody else. And in fact, what I'm finding is, after this was brought up, of course, it's like, okay, let's go check this out and let's dig through it. What I'm finding is the opposite. What mm-hmm. I'm finding is that there was actually a lot of communication and feelings, and Maura and him, based on what I've read and seen, cared very much for each other. So I think that that's one of my problems is that is very similar to your concerns, is that Renner is taking this and connecting it to Maura, and I can't find any connection at all. What do you say to people that are just saying, well, he's just asking the hard questions because he's trying to get to the bottom of what happened to Maura?
Name a hard question that he's asked that helps us find Maura. I guess what I'm saying is I reject the premise of the question.
Okay. So do you think that Renner has helped in any way with Maura's case?
No.
Mm-mm. You don't think that he's helped bring like exposure to the case, like gotten more people, like brought more people in?
No. No, I think if anything, he's turned people off, because he admits himself, he was just a nobody from Ohio that wrote a book about somebody in Ohio, local case. He was looking for something national, something high profile, something that would get him attention and create a bigger name for himself. Maura had already been on Montel mm-hmm. on 2020, Disappeared, CNN, all these other things that were national and were high profile. And that's how he learned about it. She was already a national case. She was already a high profile case. He got notoriety from her, not the other way around. And I think that in doing so, he probably, and in fact, I know of at least one person, one extremely high profile person, that decided that he did not want anything to do with Maura's case. He did not want to help because Renner was involved, because he wanted no association with Renner whatsoever in his professional life. So no, I don't think that it's fair to argue that Renner helped her case. All the Oxygen show did is deconstruct the shitty arguments that he's been making for years. Imagine if we didn't have to start with all they had time to do was like debunk everything that he said. Imagine if we didn't have to do that, if we could have started from like a point where we sort of are now and progress it that way.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked when I watched the series. I mean, I think that there were some good things that came out of the series. I think actually the series gained exposure for Maura's case, but I think that some of the stuff I was really disappointed with is Julie probably knows the case better than anybody. And she had like 2 minutes, like mm-hmm. in the whole series. And then you have Renner that, I never counted, but it seems like he's got 30, 40 minutes where the, you know, of time, airtime out of the 6-part series.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, Oxygen is an entertainment show. It was not an investigative journalism piece. Sorry. They didn't actually investigate anything. They just took other people's reporting and put it together.
Right.
But I think it did help. I mean, it debunked a lot of things that had been out there for a long time. But to your original question, no, I don't think he's helped.
Yeah.
This is like kind of the only analogy that I can think of, and it's probably kind of an inflammatory one, but whatever, everything I say recently is inflammatory anyway. So to say that he's been good for the case, it's like the same argument that you would make if a terrorist attacked a flu clinic and killed a bunch of people. But because of all of the news coverage, a lot of people got flu shots that year. And it actually ended up saving a significant amount of people. It would be like saying, thank you, terrorists. Thank you for the work that you've done because you've raised awareness about the flu. That's like the logic that I see, that I understand when people say we should be thanking Renner.
But I think that what you're saying is, though, you don't even think that he's brought attention to the case.
I think he's brought attention, but I don't think attention is inherently good. If intention was inherently a positive thing, then terrorists, that would be an okay tactic to use.
Right.
And it's not. He's like a true crime terrorist. That's what he is. Yes, he gets a lot of attention, but so do people that blow up buildings. Like, attention in and of itself is not inherently good. Here's the thing, like, it's a decent question to ask, because there is a balance between getting attention and keeping the case alive versus steering the narrative and making it go in a direction that's damaging. But sure. Like, I think one thing that somebody said a couple of months ago and that I thought was really interesting and have thought about a lot was that the two cases that they saw the most backlash and the most just like emotional reactions, I guess, are Maura Murray and Amanda Knox. And I thought that was really interesting because I think a lot of people have seen the Amanda Knox documentary probably on Netflix.
I know who she is, but who's Amanda Knox for context that people don't know?
She was the woman who was an exchange student in Italy, an American exchange student, and her roommate was discovered having been murdered in her apartment, in Amanda's apartment. Amanda and she shared with this woman, Meredith, and several other people. And Amanda was charged with her murder and spent 4 years in jail in Italy before eventually, ultimately, she was acquitted of the charges. And the Supreme Court noted how incredibly flawed the investigation was from the beginning. And I grant that, obviously, Amanda was a defendant and Maura is most likely a victim. But I think that one thing that it certainly demonstrated, and I think that's like valuable to learn from, is how when the media is more interested in the sex life of a woman than they are in, you know, sexist prosecutors, forensic evidence, actual perpetrators, things that really do matter, the implications can be awful, can be really terrible. And for anyone that's seen the documentary on Amanda Knox, I mean, that media guy, I thought he had a lot in common with Renner. Like, all I saw was Renner when he spoke, because he basically wrote off the guy whose DNA was all over the place and whose footprints were all over the place and who had the motive, means, and opportunity and no connection whatsoever with Amanda. He basically wrote him off as, I didn't talk about him because he was boring. Nobody wanted to hear about him. But what was really fascinating was this woman who had sex with 7 people in her life and looked like the all-American, quote, all-American girl, which is a phrase that Renner uses quite frequently. And so that's really fascinating because there's a woman that's violating our social expectations of how a all-American woman should behave. And so we're gonna talk about that because that's the real story. That's the real crime here. And it completely derailed Amanda's case, and she ended up spending 4 years in jail because of it. Because of how the media covered her case, and because of the obsession and fascination with the sex life of a 21-year-old woman. Right. I see a lot of parallels between the two.
Well, I think that from the beginning, one of the things that we've seen, and Helena used to talk about this a lot, is that the things that Renner have tended to focus on over the years are sensationalism. If it's not sensational, mm-hmm. if it's not amazing, he pays less attention to it. So, mm-hmm. For example, I had a conversation with Renner a few months ago, and I just asked him, like, why don't you go after some of these other people that we actually think could be involved? Like, you know, there's some locals up there that have been brought up before, you know, that everybody talks about, whether it be Rick Forciere or Claude Moulton or whatever. There's lots of people that have been on the radar and have been looked at. Why aren't you sensationalizing them? And he flat out told me that he's convinced 100% that no local had anything to do with this.
And that is in direct contrast to everything that we've heard from law enforcement, that their suspect is Rick Forciere. It has been pretty much since day one. And what I find interesting about that is not only did Renner attack me and send me these threatening emails demanding that I remove my podcast about Guy Parody and Guy Parody discussing Rick Forciere. He demanded I remove my podcast post haste. Literally, that's what he said, as if he's my editor, because I was libeling and slandering Rick Forciere. He then went to Rick Forciere and his wife, or his ex-wife, called them up, gave her the impression that he was a lawyer, and that they should consider suing me and filing a defamation suit against me. So here's this guy that there's a lot of attention and focus on, and who has lied to police at least once that we know of. And there's some suspicious things happening with him. I'm not calling him a murderer. I'm saying, like, there's a reason to look at him. And you're going to try to get him to sue me. It's really unbelievable when you think about it.
Right.
Because he wants it to be about Bill Rausch. He wants the sensationalism. And it's just like the guy, Nick Pizza, from Amanda Knox's case, who they asked him about Rudy Guid, the guy that did it. He said, it was just boring. It was boring. It wasn't a good story. because it's interesting because, like, he's literally said, I don't want to believe that life is that random and terrible. I don't want to believe it. He's like said these things. Yeah, nobody wants to believe that, like, it's another case of a woman being murdered for no reason by a stranger, but it happens every goddamn day.
Well, you
every day.
You did a whole podcast talking about the statistics concerning serial killers and people being murdered and how random it is, or how random mm-hmm. it isn't, actually.
Yeah, there's 6 a day.
Yeah.
That's the most conservative estimate. It's probably more like 10 or 11.
Right.
But the most conservative estimate is 6 people murdered every day by strangers. 3 out of 6 are traveling. Traveling, shopping, or participating in leisurely activities outside of the home.
The victims.
Yes.
Right. So that's really funny because over the years being so involved, I've always thought that that's actually a credible argument when people actually say, like, well, what are the chances that a serial killer, like, just came by? And I always have kind of looked at it a little bit different. I've always thought that it's possible that maybe a hardcore serial killer was not, like, on the spot when Maura went missing, but that maybe she ended up getting a ride from somebody and ended up somewhere she wasn't expecting to end up, and then later met with foul play, like things went south. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it wasn't like the person that gave her the ride wasn't initially setting out to do harm to her, but maybe later, you know, somebody made advances or whatever, and then things went south and something bad happened. But it wasn't until I listened to actually the one podcast that you did with the statistics that I went, oh, actually, this is more common than I thought it was. Like, I had no idea that what you said, 6 a day in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that actually kind of blew me away.
Yeah. And when you think about the fact that she's a young woman, disabled vehicle, no cell phone service, on the side of the road, hundreds of miles away from her home, she's the perfect victim.
Yeah.